Now, thousands of Japanese have staged nationwide rallies against Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's new security laws. Protests were held in Tokyo, Osaka, Kyoto, and Hokkaido. The protesters believe that the new security laws violate the constitution. They legalize collective self-defense right, which allows Japan to attack other countries even if it's not directly under attack. Abe's push to have the laws pass aggravated Japanese people's concerns that the premier might next try to change the constitution. According to the polls, 52% of the Japanese are against Abe's bid to change the constitution. Let's speak to Scott Bennett. He's a former U.S. Army psychological warfare officer, and he joins us via Skype from San Francisco. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV, Mr. Bennett. Now, first of all, I'd like to get your opinion as far as Shinzo Abe's push to get these security bills passed, despite this massive public opposition to it.
Well, there's a couple ways to look at this. On one level, you could say that Mr. Abe is being pressured by the United States, specifically the Central Intelligence Agency and the Obama administration, to be used as pawns, as mercenaries in some sort of a China-Asiatic theater of war, which seems to be on the agenda of the Obama administration with the condensation of naval vessels in the South China Sea and the saber rattling, which the U.S. under the Obama administration has been trying to do. So in one sense, Abe could be playing similar to how Ukraine has been played by the United States as a pawn in its larger geopolitical chess game. On the other hand, you could also say that Abe is maneuvering his country away from the United States and slowly weaning it off of the protectorate of the United States, the control, in order to really regain its independence and its status as a nation, which it has lost since 1945. The original Constitution, of course, was established under General Douglas MacArthur after the end of World War II, in which essentially Japan became a colony of the United States and was ruled with a military iron fist. And the United States established a constitution and a very severe rule that Japan would not be able to defend itself, to engage in any martial operations under any circumstances. And the U.S. assumed full dictatorship powers and ruled over the military defenses of Japan. And that essentially was maintained from 1945 until present day. But now with the world becoming multipolar, with the dissolution of the Soviet Union and the resurrection of Russia as a power and the resurrection of Iran as a power and China as a power and India as a power and South America, Brazil, the same, you have a multipolar world. So it's not really conceivable that the United States has a right to control Japan anymore. So Abe could be maneuvering this away from the U.S. control, and it's simply a psychological reaction among the people, which have been very pacifist because of the violence and the damage that the country suffered after World War II. Japan was really put into a miserable, crushed status after the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombs, and they never want to repeat that again under any circumstances. Ergo, the hesitancy of them to assume any sort of a martial stance or character.
Right, but Mr. Bennett, if we do go with the second interpretation as you've just put forth, because many have pointed that out before as well, saying that Abe does follow this brand of nationalism and reviving that amongst the Japanese political spectrum as well as the population. However, let's not forget Japan is still hosting American troops and American base. So can Japan really wean itself off of American influence, specifically at a time when the U.S. has said that its military strategy is going to be focusing more upon that region than any time before?
Well, I would say that the Japanese culture, which is superior to Japanese politics, it is the bedrock of Japanese politics. All culture is superior to politics because it manifests the deeper personality issues of the people in the country. And the Japanese culture is more in tune and more sympathetic with the Chinese, with the Vietnamese, with the Filipinos, with the Koreans, than they are with the Americans, with the Australians, just on racial, ethnic, historical, cultural lines. And I think that would have a heavier weight in the reassembly of alliances, the repolarization of values, the redefining of character and desires and agenda for how a national, how the nation wishes to progress over the next 50 to 100 years. I think Japan is going to be asking itself a lot of questions similar to Hong Kong when it discharged itself from British colonial rule in 1998. It's begun to undergo a sort of a metamorphosis redefinition. And China has been very delicate and patient with that definition. I think Japan, the more it weans itself away from America, I don't think it's going to allow itself to be used as a military token, as a military pawn in an American geopolitical game, because we've seen from the roadmap of the American geopolitical game nothing but wreckage and ruin, bloodshed and destruction. Simply look at the Middle East, look at Ukraine, look at what America is trying to establish under the Obama administration into Europe with the amassing of troops along the former Soviet states and some of these Baltic states. There's nothing good there. And with the United States also now trying to engage in Syria with threatenings to Iran, I think Japan looks at all of these things. The Japanese people are very smart people, very sophisticated, one of the greatest cultures on the planet. And I think it's not lost any of the real core values that it's always had from, I mean, the Shogun days before right. the Dutch and the English got to Japan. I think it could gravitate in that direction and would very slowly nod and smile at the United States, but say thank you, but no thank you.
All right, we'll have to wait and see how that pans out. That's Scott Bennett, former U.S. Army Psychological Warfare Officer, joining us via Skype from San Francisco. Mr. Bennett, thank you very much indeed for your comments here on Press TV, as always.